Hello and welcome back to the Gaming Backlog Book Club. Last Thursday was October 23rd, which is Fallout Day, the day the bombs dropped in the Fallout universe. And if you're new to the series like we are, you'll have realized Bethesda drops lots of new info when they can on that day. I think last year was the first time that it happened. This year, a little bit lackluster if you ask most of the community. They announced a Fallout 4 10-year anniversary edition, which doesn't seem to do anything new except for add some mod creations compared to the version that we're playing currently, which is obviously last year's PS5 update. There's nothing
to
new.
Me. It didn't nothing seem new and important. There didn't seem to be any difference between the game of the year version that we're on and the anniversary. I was like, that makes no sense.
The one exception being that it's coming to Switch 2, which is good for people. Who I'm only have that console, because I quite enjoy playing Fallout 4 in handheld on PlayStation Portal.
I actually think this would be, from what we've played so far, this would be fun on the Switch too, like to be able to just take handheld. It would definitely be fun.
It's a really good game for something like Switch 2. It's old enough that the graphics, even in the sort of remastered or I guess visually updated versions, are better, but they're still not so intense because they're so old that it will run well on Switch 2 and it'll look good. So good for Switch owners. I think it's a really good port for that. But outside of that, you shouldn't call it a 10-year anniversary edition. You should just port it to Switch 2 and call it a day. On the other side, they also announced Fallout New Vegas 15th anniversary bundle, which is not a remaster with fixed bugs and quality of life improvements like it should be. It's just the same old PC version with some physical collectible items. But if the Fallout 76 Collector's Edition fiasco was anything to go by, this is definitely not worth your money. So yeah, quite disappointed there isn't a remaster for New Vegas coming to accompany or follow Season 2 of the TV series, unless they've got something extra special up their sleeves, which, based on the fact that they announced this, I feel like it's not going to happen anytime soon. So I guess I need to find a PC, gaming PC with mods available to make this an enjoyable experience to do New Vegas in the next 10 years. They also announced some things for Fallout 76 and probably a couple other things, but to be honest, I checked out pretty quickly and just watched some quick trailers.
Yeah, I was disappointed with the New Vegas news, especially when I saw that it was just like the PC version. I like said to myself, I'm like, what is this crap? I was like, even if it's not like a remaster or something, I'm like, I'm sure you could have put it onto PS at least and maybe Xbox.
Right. I think that is a big request, to at least get the regular version that crashes all the time onto PS5. You know, it's there are no excuses at this point. Most people are saying the same thing. I just want to play New Vegas because I know that this show is going to hype me up for it.
Yeah, exactly. And I would say it because, again, I think I have New Vegas on my Xbox because it is available.
Yeah, I have it on my Steam Deck. Yeah,
and I can't believe that they couldn't have just done that.
Just up-res and then publish it, port it.
Yeah.
There are some tweaks to do, and I'm not a developer, and you're not a developer, so we can't criticize in that sense, but it's been out long enough, and everyone's asking for it, so it seems like easy money to be made.
Oh, I think so. I definitely think if you had done that for PlayStation 5, put it at, I don't know, $10, $20, a lot of people would have bought it.
Yeah.
For sure.
I mean, it's very much like the fact that everyone's asking for Metroid Prime 2 and 3 to be ported or remastered or any kind of version to be added to Nintendo Switch instead of being locked into GameCube and Wii. And
same with Wind
but
Waker.
But Nintendo has a long track record of not doing what would easily print them lots of cash.
Yeah.
But this seems like Bethesda's making the same dumb decisions.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, outside of that, I guess the positive spin here is that Outer Worlds 2 by the Fallout New Vegas developers Obsidian is releasing tomorrow, and it's reviewing quite well. So I think it's looking pretty good. I think we both had some interest in playing Outer Worlds 1, and we've had it in our backlogs for quite a while. We even considered it to do right now in place of Fallout 4. It's a bit more modern, but you know, Fallout 1, mostly because of our TV show hype. But hey, one day we'll get to Outer Worlds 1 and 2.
Yeah, definitely. They are still the first one, and yeah, I've seen some trailers and just other little reviews so far for the second one. It looks good. So the first one is definitely definitely something I'll be playing here in the future.
Yeah. Yeah, same. Same. It looks like a good time. I think especially some of the unique sort of gameplay mechanics that they add in, like the flaws system where you end up permanently stuck with some like negative attributes too that kind of make things, make conversations or make combat goofier in a way than it usually is, because you're not only able to improve things, you can also make things worse. Yeah. So I'm excited for that one day. But moving along, let's get into our past week's worth of Fallout 4. Reminder, we do go into spoilers here and there, so if you want to avoid that, start at a previous episode, play along, and come back to this one once you're caught up. I will say, just right off the bat, and I hadn't seen any of them last time, but I love the pre-main menu Vault Boy cartoon videos that explain the different stats that you can level up in a special list. I hadn't seen any of them, but those cartoon videos are exactly what drew me, and that, you know, that really old style music and the voice acting is something that I had seen either clips of or something before that was like, oh, this is really like BioShock in some ways because of the time period that it originally take place in. And I think they do a really good job with that. I'm surprised that they didn't throw them in when you're opening up the special menu for the first time to give you a bit of a tutorial. It's weird that they're, you know, right when you load up the game but don't even start your save file. Kind of a weird decision, but I really enjoy them.
Yeah, I've only caught one or two because, again, when I'm loading up the game, I'm just kind of go straight into the game. But yeah. I have caught one, yeah. But you're right, though. They're fun. They are also what's always made Fallout, like, intriguing and something I've always wanted to, like, play and get into. Like, it's just fun with the little
character of the boy.
Yeah, it does. It definitely adds character.
And so, I mean, I think I wasn't convinced on it being Fallout after our first few hours, but now that I've put a lot more time into random exploration and what's that over there in the distance and side quests that aren't just regular old fetch quests, I'm starting to dig it a lot more than I anticipated. I know you were kind of enjoying it right off the bat. It took me a little bit to get going, I guess. Go for it.
Yeah, I was just gonna say, no, I've definitely been enjoying it. And I mean, now I haven't put obviously many hours in for the main story because it's been a little bit shorter so far.
We've been chopping it up. Yeah.
I've put a lot of extra hours in of, again, just exploring, finding new places, clearing places out, finding some new weapons, starting to upgrade weapons. Mm-hmm. One thing I need, though, which I didn't know for upgrading weapons, like, there's some upgrades I want to do, but I need to get I need to unlock the gun nut, like level one of it. So that's what I'm working towards. So when I get my next level up, for like a perk chart for the token, I'll use it on that. So then I can upgrade guns a little bit more, make them a little bit stronger.
Okay, interesting. So I was going to, now that you mentioned, I was going to ask that too. Have you put a stat point into anything besides the top row?
Yes. Oh yeah, a few of them.
I have not. I've been pumping so much into VAT's accuracy and VAT's action points. And then also there's one of the top, I think it's intelligence, gives you more experience to level up faster. So I've been pumping a lot into that. I haven't gone a level down yet because I don't have a lot of interest in most of them yet. I feel like I get more value out of those top things first. I'll get there soon, I'm sure.
Okay, you're right. Okay, I want to do the gun nut one just for some upgrades on my gun, but to be honest, and this was actually something I told you before we started this, but I'll say it here. I, again, after putting now, I don't even know, I'm probably like at least 13 hours of stuff into this game. Again, mainly just exploring, just realized that for favoriting guns, you can add more than one onto each slot of the D-pad. Each slot of the D-pad has three. Did not know that, because I'm like carrying all these guns and I'm only using three guns, and then my bottom D-pad is stim. So I'm like, what am I doing with these extra ones? Like, but I don't want to get rid of these extra ones because they're actually pretty good and I can upgrade them. They do some damage. And I have ammo. And then I saw that and I was like, oh, so I just filled all the slots with the remaining guns that I had. And I was like, sweet. And it's used up all of them. So I was like, cool. Now I can switch between. Because what I had been using is, like, I had in my top slot, like, a sniper rifle. I have, like, a sniper rifle with a bayonet on the end, which I have, like,
oh, that's cool,
700 rounds for, because it's, I think it's like 38 rounds and they're everywhere. So I have a ton of rounds for that. So I never take that off. And then on my right slot on my D-pad, I picked up off some raiders in a sewer that I found like in the first episode. I found it's a tire iron with a blade on it. It's like an axe. And it does a good amount of damage. So I use that a lot for melee. And like for some feral ghouls, it's like a one or two hitter against them.
Oh, you see, you're doing a lot. I don't think I've done melee since I got out of the vault.
To be honest,
maybe I should start trying it out more.
Until I found that, I didn't even think about them as being melee weapons. I only thought it was guns.
Yeah. There's also a lot of stat points or stat types below the strength one that you can pump into just using fists.
Yeah. So like I have a brawler,
basically.
Yeah, I have on, I think I pumped into one of them to like do plus 20% melee damage or something, which definitely helps.
And you enjoy that melee fighting? Maybe I should try it out more.
Yeah, it's fun. You just have to be careful with it. Like, if it's a bunch of people, I'm not going to melee. Like, I'm going to use my guns and stay further away. But like for rad roaches and other mongrel dogs, other creatures like that, you kind of chop limbs off with it. Like, I just found it. It was off a raider. And it does, like, I think the damage was, like, 3440. It's, like, medium. The speed is medium. So there's obviously slow, medium, fast. But, yeah, it's pretty powerful.
I guess in this game, too,
they don't... Stuff doesn't get damaged. So it's not, like, it's not going to go away.
Right.
Like, I don't have to repair it or anything. Right. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Huh.
And then my other slot, I usually have, like, a shotgun. I have a shotgun. Something like that, which is a bit more powerful for close range if I need to take someone out quickly. Or sometimes a pistol. Okay. But yeah. But it was just a nice thing that I realized that I can add multiple slots in your
D-pad. Yeah, I've had that for a bit. I mean, I have three on left and right, and then I think I have a Molotov cocktail and a grenade, and then one extra gun on top. And then it's, Stimpak on bottom. But I think, there's one particular type of weapon that I'll explain a little bit later, but the most of the guns that I've been finding have been just like those pipe weapons, which is, I mean, I think it's a very cool implementation of, you know, everyone's just scrapping things together as they try to survive here. They literally are attaching a pipe with enough space for a bullet to go through onto a piece of wood and then planking them all together, and very clever, kind of a cool way of implementing that. And so I've mostly been using like bolt action pipe weapon, pipe rifle, a regular rifle, then a lot of the, I like how you can swap out your grips and things like that. So I think I have a sharpshooter pistol or something. The only thing that I wish was better in the menus though is like a compare feature, because every time I get a new weapon, I just scroll up and down to see the damage and range and accuracy comparisons against the weapon that you currently have that's kind of similar. So I wish there was just a quick, easy, like, hit one, hit R3 or whatever, and then compare the values. Unless you found that.
Totally,
or
totally agree on that.
Let us know.
No. There are times where it's like, because I see on their body and it'll give like a one or two plus signs, and I'll pick it up. Yeah, and then I'll just look at it. And if it's nothing really that great, I'll just drop it again. Because I do agree. I wish it was something
better. I always assumed that the plus sign meant either it was like an upgraded plus or like more something, or maybe it's a bit of an improvement, but then I pick it up and it doesn't seem to do much, if anything at all. So I'm always curious if what that means. There's no real tutorials here except for a couple of very light details. But I mean, I think part of it's just spending more time with the game, trying to just experiment, figure things out. And I think that's what has gotten me a little bit more immersed and interested in the game itself, is the just getting, unlocking more complexity, understanding more of the complexity to how these systems work with each other.
Yeah, definitely agree.
Yeah, so I think otherwise we also have another banger game here on the podcast in terms of music. The original score soundtrack is all right and mostly ambient music sounds, but the radio itself that you can listen to on your Pip-Boy is amazing. I don't know if you've tried that out much.
I've turned it on, but I've only turned it on for like signals when I've got signals and listen to people's.
Well, you're missing out.
I guess is there a radio station with actual
cars in GTA, which I haven't played much of GTA at all, but back in the day when I was playing GTA 3 in Vice City, I would just get in the car, turn on the radio, and then drive around at high speeds and jump off of ramps. That was my GTA experience. And that was the really good soundtracks, especially in Vice City. But that's sort of what it's like here, but with period appropriate music.
Okay, I'm going to have to just turn the radio onto my Pip-Boy while roaming around.
Yeah, there's nothing like just wandering the wasteland listening to old school big band and jazz music on Diamond City Radio, the channel. And also the classical radio station makes infiltrations and firefights so epic. I just can't beat taking out a bunch of raiders to the soundtrack of Ride of the Valkyries.
Okay.
That was badass. I wasn't expecting that one to come on, but it came on in the perfect moment to just like knock out a bunch of people.
That is really cool.
On the flip side, though, make sure if you're doing that, make sure you turn the radio off before starting a conversation with an NPC, especially if it's going to be a story-related conversation.
Okay.
Having a super upbeat Ella Fitzgerald song on at pretty high volume while Preston, the Minuteman leader, is explaining the Quincy Massacre was a little bit odd, I guess is the best way of putting it.
Distracting,
So I was like, oh, this is definitely not fitting the theme of this conversation. I started turning it off when I got into towns and things like that. But it's just so such a good background to fighting and exploring.
Okay.
I also thought the dark comedy of nearly every food item having some type of A-bomb or explosion branding is hilarious. I know everyone in those Cold War times was in constant fear, but this degree of kind of morbid fascination with nuclear bombs and explosions is really next level.
Yeah, it is. They were really
Nuka-Cola and sugar bombs and Blamco, and there's a very, very long list of food items that are somehow related to bombs.
It's just like all the food was foreshadowing what was going to happen.
I don't know. I mean, why are you giving a kid cereal shaped like a bomb? I think there was a commercial for one that I saw too that was
older.
It might have been in the Fallout in the Day thing last week.
All the corporations are,
yeah, of course they are. I mean, I really think they were. It sounds like part of the original deal. The last sort of generalized gameplay thing here that I have is, it might just be from having played more modern games and loving the type of movement in games like Titanfall 2 and the fact that a lot of other shooters now have adopted the sprint and slide move. But I keep trying to do that here. So I'll be sprinting and realize, because I love in modern shooters, sprinting, sliding around a corner and then like blasting someone, but that's totally not an option.
No, it just goes straight to your Pip-Boy.
Yeah.
I still do it with it. I'm trying to make it as a dodge, and then I just hit my Pip-Boy.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, that's a great way to break immersion in the middle of a fight. Let me just look at my wrist computer.
I will say, your sliding, shooting and sliding thing. It's fun in some first-person shooters, but honestly, some of the best sprinting and sliding and shooting is in the Horizon series.
Oh, yeah, which becomes third person. I do recall that from Zero Dawn, but I haven't played Forbidden West, as you know.
It's so good because you can slide for a little bit. And then if you like slide down a hill, it actually just fully slides down the hill.
Oh, really? Cool. Okay, that's fun.
Yeah.
It's cool in the backlog. I'll get to it eventually.
Yeah. So good.
Is dog meat still your companion?
Yes, he has not left my side.
Okay, you got the pet.
Dog, I will say, just companion.
As much as I want to switch back to him because it's a dog and they're awesome, I don't know that I'll be letting go of Codsworth. He crushes it as a companion. He doesn't talk your ear off like I expected he might based on our introduction to him at the beginning of the game. And he uses buzzsaws and flamethrowers and just absolutely destroys enemies.
Okay. All right. Well, then, maybe I'll give dog meat a rest for a little bit.
Yeah, let dog meat take a little nap and come back to him later if you are willing to let go of the absolute destruction that Codsworth can do. And I don't know if someone mentioned this, I think, on Reddit. Do you remember the Mr. Handy. So Cosworth, I guess, is a type of Mr. Handy. Do you remember Mr. Handy from the first season of the Fallout show?
Yeah. Yes.
Where he just pops out of nowhere and tries to harvest Lucy's organs.
Yes. Because it's voiced by, oh my gosh. Oh, I love the dude. I can't remember his name now. Yeah. Yes, I do remember him.
Yeah, I mean, so someone on Reddit asked a really good question, which is, what did you think of Cosworth after being introduced to that type of robot in the show as someone that's literally trying to kill you? And then Cosworth here is just, you know, your trusty companion. I definitely had a bit of suspicion about him, just considering that first introduction from the TV series. But he's doing really well right now. I don't mind Cosworth at all.
Okay, good. I'm gonna have to bring him. I've met a couple others that have not been nice.
Yeah, I'm totally expecting that to happen too. So I'll have a robot against robot fight and just watch with some popcorn.
Yeah, Dogmeat doesn't help as much in the situation.
Yeah, he takes. I feel like the little bit that I had Dogmeat through the first museum section quest, he seemed to get hurt a bit more often, and Cosworth I haven't had to do anything for. He just kind of tanks through everything.
Okay. All right.
Well, it all depends. I mean, if you want a little bit of an easier going, then go for Cosworth. And if you want to have some take care of most enemies yourself with a little bit of help, then Dogmeat's your answer. I mean, there are other companions too, but why choose a human, a regular old boring human, when you can have someone either a dog or a robot?
Exactly. I agree.
So I think, you know, obviously this main quest takes you to Diamond City. That's where it really starts. You get assigned it at Sanctuary, and then the quest itself starts when you get to Diamond City. But so basically everything was just going through it on the way there. While wandering around, I entered an area with raiders hanging out, decided to try to flank them, and ended up going up a fire escape a bunch of floors in some town that I don't know the name of. The top of the building had no view of the raiders I was trying to shoot at, but there was a single raider in two pieces of power armor, not a full suit, just waiting to absolutely destroy me because it was just someone hanging out inside of a room. Killed me three times. Fortunately, I had a quick save nearby. And then I remembered I still had the laser rifle, the tap square to crank up the laser rifle from the museum quest, and it took about 5 to 10 point blank shots to the face, but that eventually took out this raider. Examining her hideout after was pretty unsettling though, because she had two corpses hanging on giant hooks from the ceiling for some reason that was not explained at all.
Ooh, lovely.
Yeah, raiders are nice people. Super nice. They shouldn't be having power armor, but I guess they can pick it up too.
Yeah. It's not have them have power armor.
Don't give a ghoul power armor. No. Don't give a not nice.
I don't want harder fights.
Yeah. Moving on from there, I ended up, I think it was killing the person by a pool and did some cooking and just kept wandering along. But I know last time you mentioned that you had cleared out the Corvega assembly plant, which is basically just the futuristic Corvette factory. That place was like a labyrinth.
Yeah,
but really entertaining to sneak around and kill every last one of them raiders, because there were just so many people. It was a huge, huge place with indoors and outdoors and everything in between. So there was the trailer on the property outside of the building with the radio frequency available only in there, which we spoke briefly about, that if you listen to it, it gives you another place on your map to go investigate. And it's only the radio frequency only available in a very small area in that spot. So, you know, move on over there and you meet your first members of the Brotherhood of Steel, which we know from the show as the main power armor users at that what was the name of that town? Whatever it was with the police station.
Cambridge. I think it was
Cambridge. It was another C. Yeah, it's Cambridge. You're right. I heard the radio transmission. I thought, okay, added to the map. I'll go check it out later. So I'm just on my way to Diamond City. But then I heard gunfire and I saw a town on the pathway to Diamond City. So I just wandered over there, just like, what's going on over there? And it ended up being a ton of feral ghouls and those three Brotherhood of Steel members being ambushed. So I helped them out and then went on, you know, went into the police station with them. You said you had also done this as well, right?
Yes. Yeah, I've done all this. Yeah.
So you explore through the police station. Paladin Dance is the guy in the armor. He wants to go clear out something so that you can get the tower up and running, the radio tower on the police building. And so you go into the Institute's run building, and it's full of these synth enemies.
Yeah. So
based on this world, it has robots, and it has mutated everything. I was not expecting to see anything like a synth. It reminded me of a weird cross between some enemies in Mass Effect and like iRobot, I guess, is the best comparison in the way it looks.
Alien. They also remind me of the alien synths.
Oh, yes, you're right. Yep, those things are unusual too. Yeah, it's I walked into that building thinking like, okay, there will be some robots, and then there's synths, and they just charge at you. Almost like the Terminator 2. Dude as well. And I think this is the thing I was going to mention, held on to for a sec, is that the Institute pistol and rifle that they drop are awesome. And that's the other thing that I put onto my quick switch inventory favorites, because I really like the scoped rifle that I picked up that shoots lasers.
Okay. Yeah, I have one. I haven't used it much. But I did pick up
ammo is just
rifle.
Fusion cells, so they were just so many synths in there that I just swept all of their bodies and grabbed every piece of fusion cell. So I still have a fair bit of ammo, and I've used it at long range to take people out. It's really entertaining to use that thing.
Okay, very good. Okay, yeah, I haven't used it as much. I have one. Mm-hmm. I just haven't used them as much because I'm just kind of happy with my tire iron axe and sniper and. I don't know.
Hey, if you got something that's working for you, just keep going with it.
Yeah, so far it is. So, but as I said, now that I know that the three slots, it helps now that like if I find something else, I can switch out and see what's best.
So. Yeah, I'm just excited to keep finding totally randomized weapons that I wasn't expecting and that can slowly replace my very basic beginner level pipe pistols and whatnot. So, yeah, it's a lot of variety here, which is fun in the weapons.
Yeah, it is.
Did you also go? So what was your, that walk through to set up the generator and everything was fairly straightforward and somewhat linear. But yeah, I think the only other kind of major thing, did you set up the radio tower at a drive-in movie theater? It was a quest from Preston from Sanctuary to go because they want to expand their network or their settlement, basically. It's fairly close to Concord Concord and Sanctuary.
I've been to it, but I didn't do that. I went there. So yeah, just before that, though, did you in the ArcJet Labs part, did you start the engine while Paladin Dance was under it?
No, I don't think so.
I started the engine and it just shoots fire down on top of him. And he goes down to like one knee, but he survives. He's like,
That happened.
He's like, oh, I got burned. And I'm Jesus. Like standing, I'm standing in the room because it's like a room. It's just a button that says press to start engine. And I'm like looking out the window and I just press it. And then I just stand in the window and just watched him just the engine just turn on while he's underneath fighting synths.
Oh, okay. I did not push that button. I took the fusion cell or the power core out of that thing that started up the generator, and then I was so overburdened because I picked up something called a junk jet.
I don't know if you got that one. It's a weapon where you just throw
all your junk in and it starts shooting him. I picked that up, was overburdened because it's so heavy, and then obviously, yeah, he's getting swarmed by these synths, and you have to go all the way around because you can't just walk through that window or anything else. So I was just walking so slow that I didn't stop to do anything because I was like, I think he probably needs some help, at least a little bit. And then I finally, right before turning the corner, I was like, you know what? I'm just going to pass this thing off to Cosworth for now and pick it back up from him later.
I was going to say, I passed mine off to Dog Meat.
Yeah, yeah. Man, you're going to break Dog Meat's back like that.
Dog Meat is holding like 100 plus pounds for me, and I'm proud of him. I don't really know how he does it.
He's a pack mule dog.
That's another thing I don't see. I don't know if there's a limit for how much they can carry for you.
For how much they can pay.
Don't see a limit for them. Obviously, we have one, but I don't see for them. Yeah, but, right.
Well, maybe they're just the Mary Poppins bag, and that's all you need.
Yeah.
Just throw everything that you want, but don't want to carry in there. Yeah, that was an entertaining experience. So I picked up a very minor quest to just expand the settlement of the Minutemen into that drive-in theater. So you have to clear out a couple of mole rats, and but the mission itself is to set up a generator. So you have to actually go into the settlement building menu, the workshop menu, and build a generator and a radio tower. And for the life of me, I couldn't figure out how to make it work because you set them both up. And then,
so I did. This, but not there.
You have to be in the settlement menu, wander around, and find your things, and then click connect the cable or the wire or the plug. I guess I don't remember which one. I think it goes like cable.
Yeah, attach wire.
You have to click it on one and then attach it to the other one. So anyone out there who's doing this for the first time, it's really needed a tutorial because it would just keep popping up with you should connect it with a wire, but there's no wires in the menus. So there you have it. If you want to do that, set up your pieces of equipment and then hit triangle. I think it was triangle for me. I don't know.
If it was triangle to attach wire and then it did. So I did it for a place called,
on the other end.
Yeah, called Sunshine Tidings is where I was.
Been there.
See, that's interesting. So I didn't get, that's interesting that you did it at the drive-thru for Preston, but I didn't. So for Preston, I've talked to two settlements. The first one, actually I've talked to three. The first one, which was the one that made me go to Corvega, which was like Tree Pine or something. I don't know.
Yeah,
something
Ten
like
Pine.
That. Was that
Ten
some,
Pine.
Yeah, Ten Pine, yes. And then I went to Corvega. Then I went to one called Oberlin Station.
Okay,
where
there.
I talked to them, and then they just want you to, it's like another one of, please kill some raiders for us in this place. So I did that.
Oh.
And then I went back to Preston, and he gave me two things. One, go to Sunshine Tidings and clear that out to make it a sanctuary for us. And two, do you want to fight and go to this castle with us, which I have not done.
Castle sounds fun and out of place.
But I went to Sunshine Tidings, and there's just like a few feral ghouls in, like, it was just a bunch of cabins. So I just fought some of those. I cleared it out. But then I had to, as you said, for there, I had to put up a radio beacon, like a beacon tower and a generator. Mm-hmm. And it took me forever to figure out that why, because I'm like looking through all the menus and I'm like, I built a conduit and I was like, well, that doesn't work. And and then all of a sudden I'm like looking at it outside and it says attach wire. And I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, it needs a better tutorial system for at least the settlement stuff, if not a lot more. And obviously, so many complaints about which one was it? Skyward Sword, Zelda. People don't love overly long mandatory tutorials, but you should have an option for tutorials for things that are this complicated.
Mm-hmm.
It's not because of this, but I, coming into this game, knew that the settlement building was a thing, and I have zero interest in it. I'll do as much as I need to just kind of quickly move along or get some experience.
To move it along. I'm doing the same exact thing. I'm not.
That's not the type of thing that I love doing in a game, except Age of Empires or other RTSs of that era, because that is the point. But it's not. It doesn't fit for me into this kind of situation.
I agree.
Makes sense in world, but it's not something I want to be doing. And I'm glad
it's
not.
It's just me.
So far,
it's just
super
me
mandatory.
Doing the minimal of just to get that like select mission done, but I'm not going to build extra houses and all that on myself. I'm not going to do that.
Yeah. No thanks. No thanks.
Yeah.
I guess the last kind of side quest thing that I did before I pass over to you is that I ran into a post office, and of course Cosworth says, isn't it a little bit too quiet in here? And I, was thinking the same thing. There was a weird red light coming from out of nowhere at some corner, and there's a bunch of shopping carts full of meat. And then I saw in the corner behind a podium an enemy just standing there. And I was like, I think that guy's moving, but he was just very still. And I got a little bit closer. I was starting to pull my gun out, and he immediately turns to attack me and said something weird. But it was a super mutant, my first super mutant encounter. And the post office was full of super mutants. And they wrecked me at least a couple times before I pulled out that laser rifle from before and and actually the gun that I had grabbed from that was given to me by Paladin Dance, and I started just ripping them apart with that thing.
I backed myself into
a corner behind a door. Yeah.
Okay, we forgot to mention that. Yeah, you get his gun called the Righteous Authority, and it's actually a pretty good gun, I will say.
Yeah, I'm a fan. Yeah, I have it on my favorites for sure.
Yeah, same. I have not. Okay, so I know what you're talking about because I walked past the back window of the post office and looked inside and saw mutants, and I said, nope, and I walked the other way. I was not fighting those.
I walked by the front door and you walked by the back door, and so you got some more information than I did.
Yeah. Early game, when we first started, not long, and when I was doing like my first or second side quest, I randomly encountered one super mutant in the middle of the road, and I tried to shoot it and do stuff, and it was not doing anything at that point, and I was like, uh-oh. So I kind of more of ran. I'll get back. I also got to fight some. I don't know. Did you get another? I haven't done it yet, but there's a signal about a guy. Did you get another radio signal for somebody? We'll listen to some.
You know, I check them out when I come across them, but I don't. Which one are you talking about?
There's a radio signal of a guy who's like trapped in a tower that he needs help. And he's like surrounded by super mutants, he says. So I haven't done it yet, but I got it. I was walking towards Diamond City or whatever, it just like popped up on the right corner. It says like blah 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 radio signal, and so I went in and listened.
Interesting.
I think it's called Trinity Tower, I think is what it's called.
Interesting. There is, so now that you mention it, someone on Reddit kind of clued me into something, which, take it or leave it, this advice, but basically it sounds like with the PS5 upgrade of Fallout 4, if you're on that version like we are, they added right after you leave, it was either after you leave the vault or after you complete the museum quest, it pops up a bunch of quests for free out of nowhere that you don't have to collect by talking to someone or discovering something or listening to something. So there's, like, what is it? A handful of quests that basically drop some of the most, or I think they're mods that don't necessarily tie into the game itself super well, you know, or well enough, but that were added in, and they were added from the get-go, and they give you super overpowered weapons. So if you want that, go for it. And if not, I mean, at least at the start of the game, I said, I don't know if I need that. So I turned off the trackers for those, and I'll go back to them later. But those quests are called Echoes of the Past, At Hollow's Eve, When Pigs Fly, Crucible, Best of Three, Pyromaniac, and Speak of the Devil. So thank you to I Am Not Modest on Reddit. But those are things that being OP at some point might come in handy if you want to pick up some really high-powered weapons.
Yeah, I can't remember if I've done one of them. I've looked at all of them. I do like this feature in the Pip-Boy that you can scroll over them and then say view on map and see where they are on the map.
Yeah, it's super useful.
So then I can see like, oh, is it really close? Like, is it something I'll get to? Most of them have been quite far away.
Yeah, pretty in a distance.
So I just haven't.
Yeah, mostly on the east side of the map.
I may have done one,
I've seen,
but I can't remember. I don't think I have. The one that confuses me is the like, is it the mysterious signal or the Hallows Eve like signal? And I like keep going on to the mysterious signal on my radio, but nothing ever happens. So I don't know. It must be one very specific area that I haven't got to yet.
Yeah, that could be it.
Because it doesn't show on the map where it is. When you click on the show on map, it just takes you to Sanctuary, like where you start. So I was like, it must be one specific area. And I mean, when I say it takes you to Sanctuary, it doesn't mean, I don't mean like that's what it's saying it is. It's just like it doesn't move the map.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
it doesn't put a point down. Yeah. So I'm, that one I'll find. But yeah, I did see those right when we came out of the vault, but I don't think I've done any of them yet.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to hold on to them. I'm going to hold on to them when I'm like, I don't want to level up when I at grind levels. I want to just. Yeah. I just want
to
destroy some people. What other kind of exploration or side quest related stuff did you get up to?
Let's see. I'm trying to make some notes here. I think I've talked most about all of them. I think I've talked about all the other ones I've done outside. There was two that I did inside Diamond City.
Okay.
So
inside. All right.
So if we go back to like Diamond City. So the main quest one, the Jewel of the Commonwealth. We go to Diamond City. I got to Diamond City.
It's really funny to me that the main quest, one of the things driving the story along, is really just about arriving at, getting into Diamond City, and then having a couple conversations, and that's the quest.
Yeah. But there's, yeah, I know. There's a lot more of just side questing that actually kinda...
I mean, unless some of these future, I mean, we've already done, what, 3 to 4, if you count the prologue? There's less than double-digit main quests left, so unless they get a lot meatier, I'm starting to understand why so many people say that side quests rule in Fallout, or at least Fallout 4.
Yeah, I definitely can see that. But yeah, I got to Diamond City. So actually, when I first got to Diamond City, and I saw a Diamond City security guy, he was red, like, I thought it was an enemy and not a diamond. Like, I didn't know it was someone good. Like, he just walked. And so I shot him and killed him. And then at points, then I killed a couple others. And then at one point, I had everybody from Diamond City attack me and I died. Like, the mayor came out and other citizens in there. And I, like, I died and I realized that's not right. And I just reloaded, like, a last save a little bit before that. And then the next time when I saw that security guy, I just walked up to him very slowly and he didn't turn red or anything. I don't know why it turned red the first time, and just talked to him. And he said, oh, if you're looking for Diamond City, it's down that way. And then I walked past the machine gun turret, which didn't shoot me the second time.
Mm-hmm.
And then I walked in and made it and found my way to the main gate of Diamond City, and then talked to Piper outside there, who's basically gets unusual. You in by saying, hey, I have a trader here with me. Like, yeah. He has some good stuff. Why don't you let us both in?
And the main security guy, just a pushover.
Yeah. He's like, I just don't want to deal with you again, Piper, basically. Just let you in. And then the mayor's like, why'd you let her in?
Well, because we protect our own, I don't know.
Yeah, but when we get in, I asked around. I tried. My persuasion or perception is not good enough yet. I keep trying to make it happen. I fail about every out of five times, fail 4 out of 5 times, I will say. So I need to up that. But I did speak to, I think it was Nat, who works at the paper, the public occurrence with Piper.
I mean, typically in a game like this where you can have conversations, I typically just go and talk to everyone that I can and then move along. Mm-hmm. I stopped at the bar and talked to the robot for a while.
Yeah.
Or tried to trade or whatever. So Nat is I think is either the younger sister of Piper.
I'm not sure. Or if it's just some kid that networks with Piper.
Yeah. Either way. Yeah. Gives you the information you need.
Yeah, I told her the information. I told her, I was like, oh, I'm looking for my son, like Sean. And she was like, oh, you should go talk to Nick Valentine. And I was like, oh, who's that?
Yeah.
He's a detective. And so, yeah, I did that. And then the rest of the main quest is then you literally just go into Valentine's office. You talk to his assistant. And she was like, oh, he's left on a job and he hasn't come back yet. And then that's where we start the next main quest. But
yeah,
and after that.
Still hilarious that literally just that, and we've completed our,
and
forget everything we've already talked about up to this point, except for that, and we've just done our one required task of the week. So
I know.
Yeah, it's just kind of funny.
It's also weird to me because I swear on like how long to beat or something. Actually, yeah, you know what? I'm looking it up now. On how long to beat, it says the main story is 34 and a half hours to take to beat.
Okay, is that just walking time, or
I don't
are they
know.
Assuming like, that that's... main story means you're going to get distracted no matter what, so we'll just factor it in as a main story, even if it's not.
Yeah.
Unless the next 9 quests are going to be 10 hours each. Well, okay, that's a bit much. You do the math on that, but a lot longer than this. Walk to a city and talk to people.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's been short, but now we're on to the next one, which is you have to go find Valentine, rescue him. But obviously before we started that, and then in there in Diamond City, I went back and talked to Piper. I did like an interview for her. I did an interview for Piper where I just kind of told her my story, and then like the next day, like it's in the paper and everyone's like, oh, you're the guy in the paper. I was like, oh. And then I talked to another little side quest I did there. I talked to a guy who needed paint. He's like, we must always paint and make sure the wall or protector is basically always nice. And it's the Green Monster because it's Fenway Park, which is great.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
That's why it's baseball.
I haven't looked
Diamond
around.
City
I
got as to Diamond in City. Diamond.
Yeah, I got yeah. to that. Make okay, okay. I got to Diamond City at night, and then I really just went straight to the quest and didn't look around much. But now that you mentioned that, I will look around.
Yeah, it's Fenway. It's Fenway Pack. Is what that's, it is. It's great. I love it. There's a statue outside. I think of Ted Williams, who's outside the stadium, which is awesome. Yeah. So I helped.
Okay, I did see the statue right outside the gate. Yeah. I didn't put that.
So it was
together,
a little side quest to get paint for. To help paint the Green Monster. So I went and got the paint, which again is just killing some raiders. But what was unique on this one was, well, it's not unique. There's like a settler outside of where you have to go in to get the paint, but it's a decoy and they're actually a raider and they bring you in. They're trying to ambush you, but you can kind of sneak up on them a different way. But there's a whole bunch of like in a basement area, like you saw hanging bodies in one. There's like six or seven dead bodies of other settlers who have fallen for this. Thought it would be like them to get help and then they get killed by the raiders, but it was more of just a little thing. You clear it out, you get the paint, you take it back and you paint some of the Green Monster, and the dude gives you like 200 bottle caps, and I was like, sweet.
Ooh,
yeah, I was like, that's painting. I'll take that currency. Yeah, but that was it. That's what the little ones I did inside there. I just found it funny that it is Fenway Park.
Yeah.
I like that.
I'm sure we'll find out more Boston-specific things. I mean, a lot of this so far has just been, we were in a suburb, we were in a couple of small towns, a factory, and then a bunch of mostly deserted land. So that's cool that they're connecting it finally to things that larger population might recognize if you're not living in that area or never have. But yeah, the only other thing that I guess that they mentioned that I noticed was... the guy in front, like across the street in front of Nat, the newspaper post, was, and a couple other people that I talked to in town were talking about the Institute and how it's like the boogeyman. And I mean, obviously I'm holding and using multiple Institute weapons that are very futuristic. There's the synths that are probably related to it too. So I'm really curious now that that's just like a random... the plot thickens kind of moment where who is the Institute? Everyone talks about how people don't get found in Diamond City. So I'm really curious where the story goes from here. Obviously, we're getting a detective involved. Maybe that will explain some things and maybe this story gets a little more interesting than we thought it might.
Yeah, I talked to someone where they say people get kidnapped here all the time, but no one cares that they get kidnapped. Like, it's like, oh, they got kidnapped, but at least they're not dead.
Yeah.
So
it makes you wonder if the Institutes are the one who kidnapped Sean. I'm thinking it's pretty likely at this point.
I'm pretty sure. There's another guy in Diamond City, you probably didn't talk to him, who's a big baseball dude. He's like decked out in a whole baseball uniform. And you talk to him and he tells you about the great game of baseball. And he said, baseball was a game where teams beat each other to death in power suit armor. He said there was an all-ladies team called the Lexington Ladies, and this, I forgot her name, but like this one, she was the best baseball player out there, and she had a kill streak of whatever. And then you can answer saying, that's not what baseball is.
Oh, okay.
Which
because you were alive when baseball was around.
Mm-hmm. And he's like, no, it's not. He's like, yes, it is. He's like, and you go like, no, it was America's pastime, and this is how it was. The guy's like, whatever. But yeah, I just love how their version of baseball was teams killing each other, whoever wins, killing each other in power suit armor.
I mean, okay, so I enjoy a number of sports. Baseball is lower on my list there of interest, and it doesn't hold my attention for too long unless I'm in the ballpark. But I might tune in a little bit more often. It was like that.
Yeah, I know.
At least a fake version of it. I don't want to see people actually get killed. That would suck.
Yeah. I just found that funny. You'll see the guy because when it's nighttime, they all go inside their house and like they lock up like it's done for the day. They're not out there 24/7. So I do like that there is that little thing. So it was like during the day after the paint mission, I like just went and talked to him because he's like, come here. He's like, you can buy bats and baseballs and stuff from him. So
I did pick up a bat, actually, and I was planning on trying to use it as a melee weapon at some point, so we'll see.
He sells some bats, like, with screws and other things on it that are seem pretty good, bat. but they're not better than what my bladed tire iron, so I just haven't upgraded. There's one that is, but it's like, so I noticed on some vendors, they have like a special weapon that is like super like overpowered and it costs like a ton. Like he had a baseball bat, which was, there was like 2000 something bottle caps. So I was like, I don't have that much. I saw on another vendor a while ago, like someone had a sword that like could easily kill, what was it? It was really good against ghouls and something else or whatever. But it, again, it was like at that time it was a thousand plus bottle caps, and I didn't have that. But it seems like some people have, they have at least like one special type of weapon that you can get.
Huh. Okay. I guess I haven't seen that many stores really, but sure. I'll have to check that out. Maybe I'll save up for a giant sword.
Have you bartered with anybody? Or like bought stuff off?
Yeah, I did try to barter, but then it involved coughing up a lot of stuff too, I think. Or that was part of a trade. I don't know. I opened up the menu and then I was like, this isn't going to work out right now. So I bailed.
Oh.
But I'll do it later. Have you?
Yeah, I've done it where I've bought some Stimpak, some other things off people. Objects where, like, if I need screws or whatever. And it tells you, like, how many bottle caps, like, ammo. It's like how many bottle caps it costs total for them. And then you can see how much it's going to cost you. And then you can look at your stuff. And I've done it where I haven't got it where it's even trade. I've always paid.
Yeah.
But I've got it where I've traded some stuff off that I know like I'm not going to use, or extra guns that I don't care about.
Yeah, sure.
And just gotten the price down.
You're not going to use it as scrap parts for something else.
Some I do, some I don't.
I don't know if you ran into him, but somewhere in that path from Sanctuary down to Diamond City, I ran into a pack of three people with a Brahmin, one of those two-headed cows with a bunch of stuff. He was basically just a wandering shop that was, he said he was an armor salesman. So I looked at his stock and I was like, oh, this looks cool. Oh, it's really expensive. And that was the one that I ended up not doing anything with. But
I just ran into a guy, actually quickly, I ran into a guy that was selling a dog. He was wondering if I wanted to buy a dog off of him.
Get dog meat a partner.
I don't know. I said, I said not at this time, but it was like 200 something caps. 240 or something for dogs. So I just found that funny.
Not gonna replace dog meat, but you can get him a partner, so
no.
Why not?
Yeah, true. No one will replace dog meat.
So I mean, okay. The main quest itself was really just not much. So I guess we'll see what happens for next time. Our goal is to play and complete the main story quest called Unlikely Valentine and Getting a Clue. And I believe Getting a Clue follows on Unlikely Valentine and continues the detective investigation. So once you finish those and as much side questing as you're in the mood for, save and quit and hang on for next time. Just don't start the following main quest, which is called Reunions.
Yeah. Thank you, everybody, for listening and continuing on this journey with us through Fallout. I hope you guys are enjoying and exploring as much of the Wasteland and the Commonwealth, actually, as we are. Talk to you next time. Thanks. If you want to follow along and discuss our playthrough of Mave Games on the Gaming Backlog Book Club podcast, please give us a follow on your podcast platform of choice. Spotify, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Pandora, Amazon Music, or Pocket Casts, as well as our Discord and Instagram under the same name.